Is it a social distance thing? Is it a shelter in place thing? Or is it a quarantine thing? Or is it a staycation? Whatever you want to call it, let's all choose to make the best of an uncertain situation. Make your home a stress-free place of relaxation while soaking in your own Bullfrog Spa from Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Bullfrog Spas. Right now, get 24 months no interest on approved credit. That's right, 24 months no interest when you buy from Tropical Fiberglass Pools. Bullfrog Spas are made in Utah. They're the most energy efficient and the most reliable spas in the industry, and they're perfect for your vacation rental. So let the relaxation specialists at Tropical Fiberglass Pools help you find the perfect spa or pool so you can turn your backyard into a staycation oasis. Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Bullfrog Spas will come to you for a safe in-home consultation. Call 688-8797. That's 688-8797.
We wish we had enough crayons to explain this, but more government does not make you more free. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Welcome back this Christmas Eve. In his final show of the year, radio great Rush Limbaugh had a message for his listeners that had nothing to do with politics.
My point in all of this today is gratitude. My point in everything today that I share with you about this is to say thanks and to tell everybody involved how much I love you from the bottom of a sizable and growing and still beating heart. I wasn't expected to be alive today. You have an expiration date. A lot of people never get told that, and so they don't face life this way. I've learned what love really is during this.
Hi there. Welcome, Kate Daly Show. So much to share with you in this hour before Melissa and Susan come on, and I will open up the phone lines as well. Of course, Rush Limbaugh, dead today at the age of 70, and he will be missed. You know, I know a lot of you can recall, right, growing up listening to Rush, or as an adult, starting to listen to his show, and maybe you have some stories that you'd like to share about that, recalling, you know, a true legend. I mean, obviously, in fact, in talk radio, I mean, is there anyone bigger? No. He really laid the framework down for that. And so many talk show hosts sprung up because of him. I interviewed his brother, David Limbaugh, several times, and I've interviewed him several times, and I wanted to share with you what David Limbaugh said about growing up with Rush, because I was asking about political family. What was that like, you know, growing up? I just really wanted to get kind of a heads up on what it was like. So this is David Limbaugh, Rush's brother, talking about what it was like to grow up at the kitchen table with Rush. Here we go. David, were you raised in a really, really political family growing up when you guys were really little, teens and so forth? Yes?
100,000%.
Wow. Wow. So you had some lively dinner talk, I'm sure. Dinner table talk.
We had some lively... We sat around and listened to my dad pontificate, if that's what you mean.
Was everybody on the same page ideology-wise, or was everybody a little different?
Well, you know, we're like many versions of the left, the adult left today. We didn't dare disagree.
Oh, yes, I bet. I just wondered what that was like for you growing up. My mom made us read the newspaper before we sat down to breakfast, and I wondered what that was like.
That's exactly what my sons will say someday.
Yep, true. Go ahead.
Well, humor aside, he taught us to think for ourselves.
Good.
Being a conservative is thinking for yourself.
Because of course.
The mainstream media, even back then, was very liberal and denied it. Mm-hmm. They editorialized while they pretended to be delivering news. And my dad would be furious, and he would, you know, he'd yell at Walter Cronkite.
Sure.
And all these guys. Now, Eric Severide came on, and they said this is commentary. But they were editorializing when they were delivering the news, too, and it infuriated him.
David Limbaugh, nationally syndicated columnist, political commentator, author of 7 New York Times bestsellers. I mean, so many fabulous books. This latest, Guilty by Reason of Insanity. That was David Limbaugh talking about growing up with Rush. They didn't cross the dad. The dad would pontificate at the dinner table, and they didn't cross him. And then, of course, his career has just been huge. When I was asked to sub for Brett Winterbull, who is in San Diego in L.A., I was asked to do his show for a couple of days and from my studio. And I did so, and I had no idea at the time. Stupid me. I didn't even know this about him. But he was Rush's producer for 10 years. And he's a great voice as well. But, you know, I know that he probably, possibly, maybe changed how you viewed the mechanism of Washington, D.C. You know, when you have an audience as big as Rush did, I think, of course, there's going to be some things that are going to be controlled as far as talking about. And he didn't hit some of the natural things that they call conspiracy, which we know are factual now. He didn't touch a lot of those things. But he talked about the right and left paradigm a lot. And he also talked about how Washington worked a little bit more. I wouldn't have expected, and I'm just being honest here, I wouldn't have expected a tell-all just because there's so many things that I don't think getting out into the public, it would be difficult to say them with an audience as big as he had. But he certainly got people thinking, didn't he, a little bit more about how it works, the system that we all kind of lent a hand to create because we didn't say no, and how that system had hijacked, you know, even the news media, just like he talked about Severi, just like he talked about his father getting mad about editorial news, opinionized news. And he also had a huge impact on people like me for even just being in talk radio, even understanding, you know, what this was about and how to do this. And I worked for Glenn Beck. I had a show for Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck found my show and offered me a position, a show that was named The Kate Show on the Glenn Beck Network. And he, too, was obviously a product of listening to Rush, you know. I was on the Glenn Beck, the Blaze Network for 3 years and, with my separate show there and was allowed to say what I wanted. But I'll tell you, this is not an easy thing to do. And Rush made his explanations sound very simple and really, I think, hit a home run with the audience. I think in this day and age, information is an interesting thing, is it not? I have Mike Lindell coming on the show Friday, and Mike doesn't do a lot of interviews where he can't tell the truth. So they screen pretty heavily for the interviews that they do. And I'm grateful for that because I was able to say, yes, you know, we do tell the truth here, and he can talk about anything he wants. And I love that. And I love how I love people that that will speak the truth. In fact, Rush, knowing this was coming and getting that terrible news about his cancer, he was more prone to talk about COVID for what it was rather than to prop up the media narrative. And I really appreciated that about Rush. I appreciate Mike Lindell for talking about the fraud. I told Mike Lindell that we had been talking about GEMS, the system that became the fraud, that became Dominion, that his movie's about, Absolute Proof. You need to check out that movie. But I love people that will say the truth, that they don't care. Telling the truth is worth the risk. And certainly, you know, Rush went out on a limb to talk about COVID, and I'm grateful for that. I think that needs to be, you know, understood, talked about. And Mike Lindell on Friday, you know, both really could spell out to what was going on in the last 4 years. And I really appreciated that as well. I'll take a call. Sure. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi.
You know, Rush was the guy who turned me from a liberal into a conservative.
Wow, really?
And the first time I heard him, I thought, this guy is so full of that brown stuff, it must be the color of his eyes. And for some reason, I kept going back and watching him on his TV program. And I kept listening to him and listening to him. Finally, one day I said, you know, this guy really makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, the older I get, the more conservative I become. And I can directly thank Rush for his influence in creating that mindset.
That's great.
Or unleashing that mindset, yeah. Is what it was.
Yeah, I think he did that for a lot of people. And he was really the first and always the biggest on the scene to do it. And I really appreciate that he opened people's minds up to another side of the story.
He had the heart of a giant and the mind of a genius.
There you go. Hey, thanks for the call. Really, really appreciate that. 888-673-1450. Of course, you're welcome to talk about it, to talk about him and maybe the influence he had on you. He influenced a lot of people. And I hear similar stories to our last caller that they leaned very liberal until they listened to him. Now, the only difference is that on this show, we talk about the right and the left and the problems therein. And I think sometimes Rush did that as well. It seemed to be a lot of the left is the bad guy that, you know, we just want what's right. And I do think he was speaking for the American people in that we just, come on, where's common sense? Where's reason? This is ridiculous. And I'm so glad that he did that because he was outspoken on a number of issues. I think now, as far as talk radio goes, if people can concentrate on the whole scenario of right and left paradigm, I think it's going to be really healthy for the nation. But it's going to be really tough to get that out there, tough to get that word out there, because shows even like this that are on live radio are extremely rare now. But I really do appreciate what he brought to the table all those years, because he really did have a good influence on reasoning something out and shining a light and exposing what these people were doing, many people were doing in office. And I really liked that about him. I thought that he nailed that. He did that so well. And I appreciated it about him. And I appreciated this year talking more frankly about things a little bit more, maybe because he knew, you know, he knew he didn't have a whole lot of time left, but he also just did it so well. And so I do appreciate that. And I appreciate his brother for coming on the show and talking about what it was like growing up. That was really, really darling. But and I did. I texted my condolences to him, and I'm sure that it's just got this. What an awful day for his family and friends and those that he was close to. But of course, you can call up 888-673-1450 and, you know, talk radio in general. I don't know what's going to happen to talk radio. The left wants to end it, of course. Did you know conservative talk radio is really the only thing that ever succeeded? Liberal talk radio never really got any real traction because they own the rest of media. But radio was kind of reserved for the conservative base, which is kind of interesting, isn't it? In radio, you're hearing it instead of looking at it. And I'll tell you something, the hearing it is much different than watching the bobbleheads talk about things with their pretty teeth and nice hair and everything else. Talk radio is more about listening to the message, listening to the words being said. Very, very different. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there, welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Glad to have you listening. That song, My City Was Gone, Rush played that, this theme song, at the start of his show's run. And in 1999, Limbaugh stopped playing the song after a cease and desist order was issued by EMI. And the song's writer, Chrissy Hynde from The Pretenders, said in a radio interview that she did not mind the use of the song. An agreement was reached with EMI, and he was able to use it. Very, very interesting. So, My City Was Gone, Pretenders. And he also talked about this song, Caribou, Can't Do It Without You. Listen to this. He announced this was his favorite song in 2016. Rush Limbaugh, here we go. He laughed because he said that was the only lyric. Can't do without you was the only lyric in the whole song over and over again. Make sure you go over to ABC Auto Body Central. If your kids wreck your car, boy, can I understand that one. And also, if something happens to your car, they'll tell you can choose the provider. Choose ABC. They're going to get it done quick. They're going to get it done right. It's going to be safe. They've got loads of experience, years and decades of experience. They know how to work with your insurance company. They're going to do what's right by you. That's the most important thing. What's right by you. And they're going to keep you in constant contact and communication with what's happening. And they just make the process really, really easy. Even the car rental companies will tell you that they are rated 5-star and they do amazing things. ABC Auto Body Central. Also, a Tropical Pool and Spa. Get over to Tropical and take advantage of that deal. Up to $800 off on a Bullfrog hot tub. You'll love me for this one. The removable jet packs in the back. You can design it how you want. You can get the hot tub you want with the strength of the jets or the ease of the jets. There's so many different ways to really kind of build your hot tub, and it's one of the most amazingly built hot tubs that there is. They last forever. What a fantastic reputation, known as the best in the business. You're going to want to go with the best, and they're easy to operate, too. Easy to operate. Cheap to operate, too. They're awesome. Bullfrog hot tub. They even have the ozone filtration system, which makes it even more amazing and healthy and great to use. So you're going to love me for that. Get over to Tropical Pool and Spa. You may have, had an experience with, obviously, talk shows, right? And talk radio. And some of you have been listening for 40 years, right? 30 years probably. And maybe it's changed you. Maybe you've learned a great deal. I hope we've all learned. I like to do a lot of different topics on this show, but I'll tell you, Rush stuck to what was really going on in DC, and I really liked his books for kids. I thought that he did a great job on his children's books. I thought he did a good job in talking about the system and the mechanics of what was happening in this country. He did open a lot of eyes. He did convert a lot of people to understand how crazy the left was starting to get. And I think now I can't even imagine, he's passed away today at the age of 70 from lung cancer. He knew it was coming. It was didn't make it any easier for his loved ones. And of course, he's been able to be on the air and talking about it, which I think is actually kind of a blessing. Don't you? I mean, talking about the fact that he knew that this was coming. I know he had a profound impact on a lot of you, and a lot of you are some of his biggest fans. We all try to bring our own, I'm not putting myself in the category of Rush, trust me, but we all try to bring what we can to the airwaves. And my hope for the future of talk is that people can own themselves, own their shows, and do it the way that they wish to do it. Do it the way that tells the truth and gets out there and really has a lot to say about what's going on, but the truthful side of what's going on, as hard as it may be to hear, right? Because it is. It's tough sometimes to hear the truth. And sometimes all we want is a rah-rah session. Believe me, I get that. I want a rah-rah session sometimes too. But I do understand that all these different hosts they all play a different part in bringing you something to think about And I can certainly appreciate all the other talk show hosts for that. Like I said, radio has been the conservative medium for a reason. And when you're listening to these messages every day, at least there's a conversation to be had. At least we're thinking about them. At least there was some battle, some debate, right? And now we have to go even further in representing the truth of both sides. How horrific both sides are and how bad it's become. And we got a front row seat to that with the fraudulent election. We got a front row seat. So that's the only, I think, honestly, the best work we can do now is to get people to see that both sides are pretty horrific, and we need big, big changes. Maybe, you know, I'm having Mike Lindell on the show on Friday, and maybe talking enough about the fraud and about the, it was called GEMS, now it's Dominion, the software program that can turn an election for somebody. In the back of the software there. But if we keep talking about these things, could there be some possible changes? Maybe. But you have to talk about it first. You got to get it out in the open. People don't know. When I talked about GEMS, people did not know what in the world I was talking about. In fact, they told us we were nuts 6 years ago. And it had already gone to court in California. There was a court case that explained a lot of what was going on. And it was an ex-con that built the software. And so when people don't know that, they pulled somebody out of prison to build that software program. And so we just have a lot of work to do, I think, in the area of let's talk about all that's going on. Let's talk about both sides of the aisle instead of mostly one. And honestly, when I'm on the show and I'm talking about liberal progressive speak that is incoherent, doesn't make sense, more than two genders, we're a racist country, you're a racist, I'm a racist, all that garbage that they speak, they're so hateful. It's because I'm pointing out what they're saying, not because it's a right-left paradigm. It's what they're about. And they're not about, I don't know anyone on the left that speaks these things that is for God or really for this country. I haven't met them. And so that's why we talk about it so much on the air, is because it's a whole ideology that's steeped in hate, but shown to the world as the equality loving party, and it's all a lie. So we have to point out the speak of liberal progressive speak, because it's sickening. It's atrocious. It's awful. Doesn't even make sense. Nonsensical. But we get shoved in our face daily, and the kids are getting it shoved in their faces at school. I wanted to say this, you know, because we're going to be talking about legislation tomorrow. With Michelle Bolter, we're going to be talking about the bills and so forth. But I have to say this, though, Lafayette are among the newest cities ignoring pleas to make masks mandatory. This just came out yesterday. And of course, they have to add into the story against the advice of the CDC, the fraudulent CDC, the CDC that has been so corrupted for so many years. Yeah, that CDC. Anyway, so in New Orleans, in Lafayette, right outside New Orleans, they're actually saying, we're not going to do it. The city's mayor indicated they would not enforce a mandate of any kind. Then the council voted and the ordinance failed right down party lines. Two Democrats voted yes. Three Republicans all said mask mandate was pointless because it wouldn't be enforced. And one of them even raised doubts about the effectiveness of masks in an email exchange with none other than the Grosco family, who called the rejection of the mandate a complete farce. It's all pathetic and laughable. I just don't feel safe. You don't feel safe in your own town? That's how this email correspondence went down. There were 3,700 mask complaints filed statewide, people calling in on their neighbors and friends. But they were told by the state fire marshal that he would rather educate than punish, was not going to punish. I can only imagine what the education looked like, but he wasn't going to punish. And I want you to know, around here, this health department won't punish. They are not in the punishing zone, thank goodness. And so can cities say no? Can cities be sovereign? And the answer to that is yes, they can. I hope we choose, these cities here choose to be sovereign, to act on their own and to act with reason. You know, if one thing Rush did well, it was to point out the flaws in the reasoning behind the leftist agenda. He was really good at it. And I think, you know, right now, and as he poked holes in the COVID narrative, which I love him for that, love him for that, because not very many were. In fact, off the air, David Limbaugh asked me, you know, how are you doing this? How are you doing this? How are you talking? Because we had him on, I think it was March or April. And right during the thick of all this. And I said, well, we just tell the truth. And he was like, that's amazing. Good. You know? So I'm really glad that he did, that he poked a hole in this, because there were a lot of talk show hosts that were going along with the narrative and still do. They still bolster up this pandemic, which is not a pandemic. You can't have a pandemic and only 1.5% even claiming that they even had something that they didn't even know they had. 1.5% of America. So you can't have a pandemic and have that. That the two can't coexist. So somewhere in there is a lie. But I love that he did it. And I'm loving that these towns are coming forward and saying, no, we're not going to do it. It's going to take a whole lot of towns to do that. But I actually think that that's how you win against this very, very corrupt CDC that's running our country right now. Still, this is how you do it. City by city by city. You know, the left did that. The left went city to city to city with Agenda 21. Why can't we reverse that? Why can't we say city to city to city, no? Why can't we be stronger and bolder? That's the kind of city we need to be. This is the kind of, these cities make up a state. And if we have enough cities that say no and enough cities that deal in reason and logic and look around and know that people aren't dying, then good. We can finally get some truth out there. When I come back, a couple of things. You'll never guess, besides gold and silver, what's going to start going through the roof now. And I do want to talk about that and address that on the show. And then, I have a couple things, actually. So I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. I'll take your call-ins, 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. Be right back.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Happy to have you. Of course, phone lines are open, 888-673-1450. Melissa will be joining me, and then Susan, of course, because it's a Wednesday. Mike Lindell on Friday, and in the 3 p.m. Mountain Time hour. And then, just so much is going on. Really and truly, it's insane. Garage doors only. Make sure you get over there if you're in the market for a garage door. And if you want to even just change the face of your home, man, this is the way to do it. They've got great garage doors over there. They're on Bluff, and they're amazing, honest, great to deal with. You'll love them, and they'll help you. They'll actually come do all the measuring. They were just so quick and easy about the whole thing. It was just such an easy experience, can I just tell you, and a great one, because the garage doors I have are so quiet. They're just so quiet. You can hardly hear that. It's just amazing. Anyway, the new technology. So make sure that you're going there. They really are good. I love those guys. Garage doors only. Give them your business. They really are wonderful, a business to support. So I wanted to tell you a little bit because on Thursday's show last Thursday, I talked about getting a water generator from the atmosphere, you know, so you can have your own water source. I think that that's really important. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But I had to let you know this because Carrie Madaj, the doctor that we've quoted on the show so often and played her clips because she tells the truth about the COVID vaccine. It's not a vaccine. I'm sorry. The COVID gene altering shot. She actually posted this and I had to share this with you. This came out in December, but I wonder if people are kind of keeping their eye on this. And I would ask that you do. Water futures are set to join the likes of gold and oil in trade on Wall Street for the first time ever. Water futures. Interesting. Futures. That'll be very, very good. You know, it's interesting. I had a conversation with Michael Burry. He's the subject of the movie The Big Short. He's the one that made the billions off of shorting the housing market. He could see it coming. And after I saw the movie, I reached out to him and we had the greatest exchange one night of emails. Back and forth, back and forth. I must have just caught him on a good night because I asked him to come on the show, but he couldn't at the time because of an agreement that he had with Paramount. But he did tell me this, that at the end of the movie, they told everybody that he was investing in farmland. And he actually said at the time that wasn't true. He said that the Brad Pitts and the people that were kind of controlling the narrative wanted to put that in because of a single investment that he had made. But that wasn't necessarily the case. And he wasn't treating that like the housing market, the way he went into that. And he wanted to be clear about that because he said that was not the truth, but they did that at the end of the movie. They said he was investing in farmland. But now the word on the street is that he is investing in water contracts. So this is set to be, I think this is set to get very, very interesting, something that you might want to keep your eye on. So the contracts are allowing investors and farmers alike to bet on the future price of water. The contracts are tied to the $1.1 billion California spot water market. And water will officially join the likes of gold and oil and other commodities in being traded on Wall Street. And the contracts will be financially settled. So this means buyers of the contract who hold on through the expiration won't be greeted by this delivery of millions of gallons of water like they would for other commodity-based futures like oil and grain. And the water contracts are tied to the NASDAQ Valez Water Index, which was launched 2 years ago. And the index is driven by a volume-weighted average of the transaction prices in California's five largest and most actively traded water markets. So just a little heads up, keep an eye on that. Each contract is going to represent 10 acre feet of water equal to about 3.26 million gallons. And one investor, they say, potentially looking at, so this is why I don't give news like this, you know, you just have to know when you're talking to them on behind the scenes, it's a totally different story, but it could be. So I'll add that in. But Michael Burry's looking to capitalize on the newly launched water future contracts. So he highlighted water as one of his top investment ideas following the great financial crisis of 2008. I would hope that they were talking about more recently because that wasn't the case back when the film was made about his life, which showcased him. So something to keep your eye on. I'll open up phone lines. Tucker was also talking, and I thought that this was really kind of interesting. He was basically saying that the green energy are out of touch with America as coal is saving the day in Texas right now. You might want to listen to what he has to say about this. Tucker Carlson, here you go.
Tucker Carlson tonight, happy Monday. Well, the Green New Deal has come, believe it or not, to the state of Texas. And we're here with the report. How's it working out so far? Well, the good news is all that alternative energy seems to have had a remarkable effect on the climate, as intended. Last night, parts of Texas got to temperatures that we see in Alaska. In fact, they were the same as they were in Alaska. So global warming is no longer a pressing concern in Houston. We've solved that problem. The bad news is they don't have electricity. The windmills froze, so the power grid failed. Millions of Texans woke up to spoil their water because with no electricity, it couldn't be purified.
Yep. Nothing they do makes sense. We've gotten that memo, right? All right. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show, right? Go right ahead.
Hello. Hi there. Yeah, thank you for having me on here.
You bet.
Yeah, one of the things I want to say is I want to thank Rush for all the things he did, because this type of format for us to speak would not exist had he not
You're
done
right.
what he did over 30 years ago.
Amen. I totally agree with that. Yep.
100%. And I also, so when you talk about future contracts or anything, what you're talking about is hedge funds.
Mm.
The average common guy is not going to be able to do anything in this, but it's hedge funds. And if you follow things, I mean, look what happened with the entire thing that happened with GameStop, mm-hmm. where the common investor on one little platform decided they were going to play against what the hedge funds were playing. And when they actually got the best of the hedge funds, they locked those guys out and screwed them over.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's another big thing that's happened over the weekend that happened with Citibank. This is an unusual one. Hedge funds made a loan through Citibank to Revlon Cosmetics in the neighborhood of $500 million.
Hmm.
And somehow Citibank made a mistake. Instead of paying the hedge funds the payment from Revlon, they accidentally paid them the entire balance that they'd owed, that was owed,
Ooh.
That they'd loaned to Revlon.
Whoa.
So the bank, so Citibank is out the $500 million and they take it to court and the hedge funds won their case. They got their money out.
Interesting.
If you and I, that's where the whole thing was said, well, technically they were owed the money because it was a loan given through the bank into Revlon, and it was a mistake by the bank to pay them. And this, but you make that kind of a mistake for even $50
mm-hmm.
and you're going to get hit really hard, especially if you spend it. Because the reason the hedge funds could get away with it, they said, well, we thought they were paying us back the entire balance. We didn't know it was just supposed to be a payment. Oops, our mistake. We invested that money somewhere else.
Hmm.
So we don't have it to give back to the bank. And they won their case.
Wow. Interesting.
That's the kind of power that hedge funds, if you look at the amount of money that's been going into the economy, the $4 trillion that has been rolling around, and more than that, BlackRock became one of the, they control our money as it is right now as a hedge fund. They are the ones who got all the small business loans and all the COVID relief that went to small business, and all of those went through BlackRock to be administered. And they're holding on to most of that money and have not released it. And these are the type of things, it's not in the news. It's not talked about.
No.
Same thing with what's happening with these water contracts. It is the elite with money, or it actually goes back to the pension funds and the states and all kinds of things that rely on these hedge funds getting money so that they can pump it back into the economy, because right now the bonds that they've invested in are not paying the money they should have been.
Right.
We've had 7 years of zero growth in interest rates, which they needed at least a 7%, and they've only been getting 2%. So to make up for that difference, that's why this money is flowing through that way. And the way this all started back when the repo market broke down over a year and a half ago, and there was not enough liquidity, in other words, cash in the system to continue the system rolling. And that's, this is, this Michael Burry is a hedge fund operator. You know, he may seem like this guy who's playing against the big guys, but he's just another player in the same game.
Yeah, part of it. You know, it's very interesting too. Tim McCourt, CME Group, global head of equity index and alternative investment products, came out and said, you know, of course, nearly 2/3 of the world's population is expected to face water shortages by 2025. And it, this is interesting because we keep getting told about food shortages coming and food shortages by the same year, 2025. It's almost as if we're manufacturing a soon-to-be famine. It's kind of interesting to keep it, keep your eye on it, because they keep telling us this is going to happen with such certainty.
If you look at what happened in Texas, the Texas problem does go back to renewable energies.
Mm-hmm.
But when they lost the nuclear plant, that plant is a major base contributor. They contribute, the other wind and solar and all that, they're aggregates that add on to a base power system. When you lose a nuclear plant, you've lost the largest provider of your base. Now, how a nuclear plant trips in the middle of a snowstorm is beyond me, because the power is not regulated by any incoming fuel. And all of the pumps, valves, and everything else has to be certified by a regulatory agency that's so big and so large and so bureaucracy that there's no way that they couldn't have built it to standards that would survive a snowstorm of that capacity. It's impossible. I worked in the power industry for over 20 years. There's no way that a nuke plant should have gone down because of weather.
Yeah. I'm glad you called in. Thanks. Really appreciate the call.
Thank you.
That was great. Great. Very informative. Really appreciate it. We keep getting told. I hope people are preparing because they're saying it with such certainty that I do think that they would manufacture this. It's been done in history before. We've done shows on it. It's not like they're using a new page in the playbook. But we keep getting told by 2025. That's really only 4 years away. 3 years, really, to the beginning of that year. So are we? What are we doing? I will do a show that talks a lot more about the solar. I'm looking at solar, atmosphere, water generators, because you don't have to have water rights. You can kind of put it anywhere. There's solar ones that are being made right now. There's several different versions, and then there's also ones you can buy that you plug in, right, electricity-wise. So if you have a piece of property and you don't have any water rights, but you want to pick up that piece, you know, rather cheaply, that would be something that you could look at doing. They have them in all different gallons, all kinds of different types of machines, ones for home, ones for farming, all kinds of different ones. They range in price. The ones I've seen all the way from about $1,100 all the way up to about 10 grand. But I think the smart thing to do right now would be to really look ahead 4 to 5 years from now and say, where do we land? Where do we land with all of the stuff they're doing right now? The Biden administration, the dictator Biden, and all of the policies that they're putting into place right now. I think they're just getting rolling. And I think there's so much to worry about in the neighborhood of what I'm talking about. Water. We have to have water. Hi, caller. You have about a minute. Go for it.
Yeah, quickly. You were talking about the corruption of the CDC. Mm-hmm. More evidence has come out that they've lied to us on 16-fold. This mm-hmm. is a study. I sent a copy to you from the Pure and Applied Knowledge Institute, and it's they did an assessment, and they said the CDC violated all sorts of laws, and they cite them. But they said the actual figures of death toll is 1/16. If you multiply out the current figures they're giving us, it's what is it, 500,000, mm-hmm. and you divide that by 16, that takes it down to 31,000.
I believe it.
Which is, and if you although the average flu death in a nation year, as you know, is generally higher than that.
Yeah, 30 to 85,000. 30 to 85,000 is the number every year.
So all that 31. Could be from flu.
Yes.
In other words, it could be zero from this, and they still haven't identified the microbe.
You're right.
The last point on this is that, Lafayette, you were talking about the law. No city needs to have any law about wearing masks because the state constitutions right across this nation mm-hmm. do not allow the government, the governor.
They were just saying they weren't going to pass something to mandate the mask, that they had agreed that not to mandate it. So...
Right.
They weren't creating
it. They can't do it either because it's a violation of the state constitution.
Agree. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Cities can stand up. You can be sovereign more than you think still in America. Be right back with Melissa. Don't go anywhere. This is the Kate Daly Show. Big thank you to Rush Limbaugh for all the work that he did over his lifetime. Amazing. Be right back.